everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Fix. Thank you so much for listening. It's so great to hear from all of you. I am Sam. Sam I am, you could say. And I am here with Jamie Parkinen and Chris Alvarado. And we are your regular hosts. And no guest this week. But we're going to talk about something that we're kind of curious about. We don't have a hot take on it. We kind of want to explore this topic today. And the idea is group mind. And you'll hear about it a lot. And it was kind of fun. We all logged into the podcast and we're all wearing white shirts. So white t-shirts. Maybe that says a little bit about where our group mind is. Jamie, you're a Webster Dictionary. What is group mind?
Group mind, I think, is the idea that people can all kind of have the same idea organically. I think that's what people mean when they say group mind. Do you guys agree with that? Is that our starting point here?
I think that's a good starting point for sure. A couple of things that pop up in my head to kind of maybe go a little deeper. Like, you're almost at a place where you can anticipate moves or needs of fellow players. Group mind is often compared to like a school of fish, where one, you know, you don't see the one move, you just see the whole move. That's because like they are in that zone. I don't know if fish are, but you know, as far as improvisers, the idea of following the follower is also, I think, associated with that, where again, we don't know where we begin and where we end. That moves are being made together. And I think up until this very morning, maybe last night when we were talking about it over our text thread, I think I like the idea of that. I like saying that out loud. I like the idea of like me and eight other players being on the same page and even a little deeper and moving together as one. That sentence, I like to say that sentence. And I think I believed it kind of blindly for a long time, because it's something you're taught early on that the ideal, that the what we're striving for as a team is to have this group mind. And you do these little exercises, right? Like counting to 20 all together, and you hope you get there. And if you do, it proves you're on the same page. But just taking, you know, these 8 minutes to like to actually think about it, I don't know how actually real that is. We'll keep this going. But I just feel, just a moment ago, I was like, yeah. Now I'm like, is that actually a thing? Or is it just something it's nice to say?
You know, I was lucky enough to see an actual in-person improv show last night. First time in 18 months, right? It was an improvised movie group. And, you know, I think for a lot of teams getting back into it, there's going to be a little bit of hesitancy. But what I think they did very well was they had group mind. And they're doing a little bit of what both of you are saying. Jamie, they would organically come to like a button of a scene and say the same line at the same time. And that's incredibly satisfying, right? In improv, like that feels like a scripted moment. So like that kind of, we're all on the same page together organically is really cool as an audience. And then the other thing that they did is sort of what you're talking about, Chris, which is, and it was a little manufactured, like they spun a wheel at the beginning and like, okay, the plot's going to be a ruse where someone's lying about something. Can we get an occupation? Okay, doctor. So like they're manufacturing group mind, but it also meant that like they all knew where that film was going, right? They knew they were doing a romantic comedy. They knew that this lie would have to get uncovered at some point. And so it was a really fun show where it didn't feel like, you know, one person was pulling it in this direction and one person was pulling it in that direction. They were all kind of going in the same direction.
You know, Sam, it makes me wonder, even in this example, you know, what's the difference between group mind and being on the same page? Are those the same thing? Is there an overlap? Are they different? To me, I want you to answer that, especially based on you seeing the show. I'm jealous and fascinated about the experience you had. To me, being on the same page is what you saw last night. And I don't know what you saw, but group mind has this kind of woo-woo element to it, this kind of intangible feeling where we knew each other's movements. Do you know what I mean, Sam?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think some of this is Delclose was a witch, and we should never not forget that there's a little bit of that hippie influence going on. I was actually thinking about this, and I do think, for me at least, Group Mind is to some extent being on the same page. And I would say there's a lot of overlap there. There's probably not identical, but to me, I think it would be hard to see a team as like, oh, they're not on the same page, but they have Group Mind. I don't know. It's kind of a curious, maybe that's an exercise to try.
Yeah, right. Jamie, you're on this podcast.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm digesting and processing what you guys are saying. Because, yeah, to me, I wonder, Group Mind, I mean, that counting game, Chris. I've been in classes with that counting game. I've even taught that counting game. It's a great thing for newer people to feel like they're, you know, getting involved in improv. But I think with that counting game, that's nothing more than chance. That there's no group mind there. It's just if you get to 20 and no one said the word at the same time or whatever, that's just chance. That's not group mind.
Jamie, and another one is mind meld. And I feel so bad saying these out loud because like these are like loved, you know, exercises, and they really reinforce that we are all together. But mind meld is also just a game of chance. But if you believe, like Sam disagrees, but just really, I feel like it's like a Peter Pan scenario where like if you believe hard enough, then actually we did come up with the same word at the same time because we are one. And I think, I think it's nice to say. I don't know what's actually happening, Sam.
I've used mind meld for warm-ups with two different groups. Folly, we did mind meld for a while. That was a big one from Justin Michael Terry. And then I had a Herald practice group with Jen Kruger. And what was so interesting about both of those experiences was if you ever do a mind meld with someone who is really not on the same page, you're going to get it wrong a lot of the time. Like the real magic and power of mind meld, and one of the other people on my Herald team was really good at this, was like, oh, when I say ice, I know Sam likes to drink and his next thought's going to be cube. And so All of a sudden they're in your head. And so like we get a little bit of that organic magic that Jamie's talking about, or you're kind of talking about, where it's that no look pass, like I know what space they're going to be in, kind of a thing.
Can you pop the... Yes, please. Go, Jamie.
But what I'm thinking is it's like it's guessing within a certain range of possibilities. It's like, hey, Sam, let's play mind meld. All right. And let's both say a number that'll be between 1 and 10 at the same time. It's like, and then we both say 8. Then we feel so happy. But it's like, well, it feels like a manufactured way of getting to group mind. And then it's mostly just about people feeling like they're on the same page. Because to me, mind meld, it depends on how you play the game, right? There's different strategies with how to get that word at the same time. So that's not group mind. That's playing by the same set of rules, which then again is just agreement and chance.
I mean, I like Sam. I think you're right. And I think there is something actually important about, it's kind of like, have you guys ever played Codenames? It doesn't matter. It's another one of those things where you're guessing, but if you know the person, you can kind of hone in. Like that was a great example about like ice or and drinking, Sam, where if you were just doing mind meld with a stranger at a festival in Cincinnati, you don't know this person, it's going to be more difficult. So I do want to say, whether that's group mind or not, I do think it is important and nice to highlight, hey, we know each other very well. And to me, that's always going to be beneficial on stage.
And so you're actually hitting on something, Chris, that I actually want to kind of pick on group mind about. Because we had BOC on here. He talked about his coaching principles. Hang out outside of outside of rehearsal, right? This is something you hear a lot. You guys have to hang out. You have to like each other. A lot of our guests mentioned that they're in a movie watching group together. Like that's a way you can get on the same page. But I think there's a difference between manufacturing group mind and discovering that you have group mind. And I think when people hear about how Jamie and I play together, one thing they might not understand is that like Jamie and I have very similar senses of humor. And it was something that like was really fun about playing with each other. And so in a way, we had already kind of a group mind where we liked certain things or certain styles, and that helped us kind of work together, as opposed to when I've been on teams and it's a bunch of strangers, or especially classes, right, where there's very little group mind in a class. I think it's really hard, especially level one, where you're doing the counting stuff, to manufacture that group mind, because there's nothing in common with these people other than they all had Tuesday at 6 p.m. free. And so I'd be curious what you guys think of sort of inherently having a group mind, which maybe goes to what Jamie was talking about too, about like people with the same artistic vision working together versus like, all right, guys, like we're not pulling in the same direction. We're going to have to like force some kind of group mind together.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's why this concept is hard, because it's almost can mean anything. And it depends on in what context is it being used. Is it being given as a note? Hey, you guys need better group mind. Is it being given as like a goal? Let's get on the same page and get group mind. Or is it being say, wow, that was so great. You had great group mind. Like in each of these scenarios, I think group mind might mean something different. But to your point, Sam, I think that is that group mind to have like the same references, the same reference bank? Like that's why a movie group will help you, or hanging out outside. It's like, oh, Chris knows that my mom has horses. So like if there's a scene with horses, he'll probably pull me in because he knows I have some vocabulary with that, that kind of thing. That's just, you know, understanding each other's references. Is that really group mind, or is that just the facade of group mind behind, hey, I know that he likes movies?
That's really interesting, because I probably have tricked myself into thinking one was the other, to be honest, because I think it is beneficial. I think it's really, I don't know if it's actually necessary, but I think it's fun if there is a horse scene. I know your mother has horses, to bring you in. I like that moment. I like knowing that I know you off the stage, that I know your interests, things you might know about. I think that's fun. I don't know if that's group mind per se. You're right, Jamie. I will say with my team Heyday, they become, I mean, really they're my family. I mean, I love these people very, very much. And I know so much about them off stage, so much. And when we get on stage, it's a blast. But a lot of it is because we know those things, Jamie. We know those things. But that's just a knowledge of person. I don't know if that means that there's some other level that we've gone to this other level, but as I slow it down here and dissect it, I don't know. What's an example of group mind? Or like who does it exist? Oh shit, I'm turning into Jamie. Does it exist? I mean, based on the way we're talking about it, could it just be knowing people really well? Does that make, yeah.
I think so. I think it's, I mean, well, maybe we can pick apart some examples, but well, I think it's knowing somebody really well, having a limited range of choices, and then guessing the right one at the right time.
So
if you didn't, then people, it would just be the next part of the scene and no one would think twice about
that's
it.
Right.
But if you did, then people are mind blown because you guessed like, what the other person was thinking.
There is that moment on stage, like Sam just said, that is not, it's not about knowing the person necessarily. I mean, maybe people know I get physical, so they might be physical in a scene and it looks like, I don't know, but there is that moment in a show, but maybe it's just chance, where like you both sit down at the same time and cross your legs, or you know what I mean? Or like Sam said, you both say that word together at the same time. It's a very fun moment for everybody involved. But is that just a magic trick? Is that just numbers?
Yeah. You know, like, it's people trying to find order in randomness. They see two people sit down at the same time and cross their legs, and they're like, oh my God.
It's a great moment, like, for sure.
90% of people sit down and cross their legs. That's just normal. And then people see it and they're like, whoa.
I don't think that's giving enough credit to the work it takes to get to that level. Like, sure, there's some of that's going to be like random chance stuff, but like sometimes the fish turns left because it feels the other fish turning left, right? And that's kind of the idea you're going for with group mind. I think when I think about the beginning of a form, like the improvised movie especially, we open on a hot burning sun. That could go sci-fi or that could go Western. If we all watched Unforgiven together this past week, we're going to be doing a Western. If we all watch Star Wars, we're probably all thinking sci-fi. And so there is an element where the group has brain power. And I think it's interesting, Chris, the example of like, if we're a horse scene, we pull out Jamie. Like, to me, that's a version of group mind where it's like we're using all of the minds on the team to have this sort of group intelligence, and like group intelligence is a thing. But I think there's also, yeah, we know that when we sit down in these chairs in this office, we're all going to sit in the office way. Or maybe I mimic someone. Like, the mirroring aspect of group mind is what's so fun and satisfying for audiences and performers, because I think it's kind of reassuring, especially like coming from a TV writing background, a writer's room is all about group mind. And that's been really hard for me sometimes, where the frame of references are 70s bands. And if you can't name the horn section of Tower of Power, like, you're not going to be getting in on this joke. And it's interesting when you're out of the group mind, and when you're in it, there's a different feeling there.
That's interesting. First of all, your discussion, your examples and experiences in writers' rooms always sounds awful to me. you're not going to get in on this joke. No, thanks, dog. I don't want to be here. I think to me, the pinnacle of group mind, or the easiest way to test it, is the organic opening. You know, are we all, you know, do we move together as one? That tends to be the goal. I feel like that's, or like we had, what the hell is it? We had Jesu go on, who's known for doing this exercise and maybe performance piece called The Journey. And I had to do it once where he coached, where we did an opening, an organic opening, essentially for, I think it was over an hour. We were like sweaty and scratched and like falling on the floor because we're so exhausted. But you can feel those moments in the organic opening when we're moving as one, but I don't know why. I mean, I don't think it's magic. I think maybe because Jamie got down and started going hubba, 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 and we kind of picked up on it quickly. There wasn't much of a gap between Jamie doing it and me doing it. Maybe we're, you know, active listening, being aware. These are all things we're taught to. So he goes hubba, hubba. And before we can say the second hubba, I'm saying it with him. It might look like a moment of all, I mean, we are coming together, but is that group mind? I don't know.
No, that's the school of fish thing, is one fish decides to turn left and then they all get on the same page really quick. But that's not group mind. That's following somebody else, right? That's somebody's leading. Everybody else is following, maybe imperceptibly quickly, but that's not group mind. No matter, you know, it's one person leading, the rest are following. And then I think that, I just lost my train of thought. Sam, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, to me, group mind would be then if you're saying hubba hubba and you know that your teammate does that character, hubba hubba. And so you all kind of like at the same time look at each other with a twinkle in your eye like, oh, I know what this is going to transform into. It's when you're a step ahead of following a leader, to me, is where the group mind is, where you're all, one thing triggers the same thought in everyone's head is kind of the ideal for me.
I just looked up just right now as we're talking group mind improv, and there's this website called peopleandchairs.com, and it just has a quick thing. It says when group mind is present, you don't steer scenes. You're compelled to move together. It's about letting go of consciously thinking and being in a state of flow. That's interesting to be in a state of flow as a group. Sometimes we see like athletes in a state of flow. Steph Curry can't stop sinking threes. I don't know if the rest of his team, I don't know if that's a group mind or it's just Steph Curry's in a state of flow. But when you get multiple people in a state of flow, I'm listening to myself like, what are you talking about, dude?
It's sounding witchy.
I know. I want to say for the record, I'm not against the witchiness. Fucking, I hope it exists because I like the idea that this is not all math. You know, somewhere deep inside of me, I want to believe in magic. That's why I'm saying I don't know that it doesn't exist. I think we might be calling something else group mind that it isn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, there might be beautiful, pure moments of group mind. Though, every time I talk, guys, I look over at Jamie and I think, well, I could probably beat that argument too. Because what I'm considering a beautiful moment of group mind could also just be a beautiful moment of coincidence. Or, do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's what I feel like I've heard. The examples we've talked about, maybe there's something we haven't considered yet. I'm sure there is. But it's either A, chance. B, chance within a limited range, so it looks like we got group mind. C, shared references such that he knows I know this, and so we can both do that at the same time. And then D was a leader who leads almost imperceptibly ahead of everybody else. Like, follow the follower doesn't make sense. That only makes sense if there's confusion. So if you're confused, then maybe you can follow a follower.
Maybe all those elements you just said, all those little pillars there, hold up the tent that is group mind. It's a series of those posts, you know, and that's what we call it. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but it's not magic. You know, it's not, oh, we're all connected in humanity and all this bullshit. It's like, if you dissect it, I think it's less magical than you think it is. It can still be fun. It can still be delightful and satisfying. And that's all great and wonderful. But it's not like, oh, we've attained some kind of human blah, 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 which is how people talk about group mind to me. Like, yes. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Listen, I just want to say to people who are listening who might be screaming at us, please fight for this, because I want to fight for it. I'm just not smart enough right now. Like I still like the idea. And I want to say one more point, Sam, don't forget your point here. Is I feel like I haven't been in a state of, I don't know, playing with group mind in a long time, even with my best friends on stage. Let's say, hey, Dave, because I'm also concerned about me sometimes and my own anxiety or the moves I'm trying to make within the show. So it feels like it feels like if you are searching for group mind, a lot of that needs to be let go of. I can't speak. Meaning, I bet there's a team, you know, in the Midwest somewhere who aren't so focused on the science of scene work the way I am or typically am, that probably find a little more group mind, because they come in, they wear sweatpants and they go hubba 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 hub, and they probably start the rehearsals that way, right? And they're jumping up and down together, then they're screaming loud together, and maybe there's a little something there. I don't play that way typically. Sam, please.
I'm curious how this concept would apply outside of, say, like improv. Like, obviously, stand up is an individual, wouldn't have group mind. I think of like a jazz band that's improvising. There seems to be maybe a group mind there, where like they know different people are taking solos and back and forth. And Chris, I maybe wanted to direct this towards you. I don't have a lot of experience with like scripted theater. Do you feel like a scripted cast has something like group mind, or is there something about improvisation that's kind of unique there?
I think that's interesting. That's a great question and point, because you do. Here's what I'll say, and I used to say this when I coached a lot too. As a scripted cast, you do feel like you're running the same play, which is nice. Like, you know, there are certain beats or moments that need to, you know, be funny or be dramatic, and so you are working together to hopefully stick the landing on moments like that. And there is a camaraderie there. That's not the right word. You do feel very connected. Whereas, you know, Jamie could do whatever he wants in an improv scene, and you may or may not feel connected. Scripted, you know, because sometimes scripted, you're still looking at the person, not just the act. You're like, oh, this is it's John's line. Oh, he said it a little, it was a little off. He said it a little wonky. Maybe I could undersell my line to still get the effect of the laugh for this moment. Again, it's very sciencey, but there is kind of a built-in unity there. That's interesting mm-hmm. that you say that, Sam. Damn, I never thought about that. Also, you know, I've taught a lot of corporate improv stuff, and that's one of the things we try to sell all the time, right? Is like, hey guys, in the boardroom, which I've never been in a boardroom, you know, when we're all coming up with ideas, I've never seen that either. You know, but we always sell that as part of it, like group mind, you know what I mean? So that there's no idea is a bad idea, and that builds on the next idea. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you've just created Uber. I've never actually seen it, but so what I do is I go, here's a red ball. Thank you, red ball. Wasn't that group mind? Didn't we pass around three different colored balls and we didn't know where they were going? Listen, I'm not saying that isn't useful or beneficial in some way or another. I think there is benefit to that. I just don't know that it is the magic of group mind.
So I'm going to throw two things out there just to like blow it up a little bit. One would be, are forms part of group mind? Because to run the same play, we have to know what scene it's going to be. So do forms help group mind? Are forms essential to group mind in some ways? And the other thing is, groups that are made up of the same type of person are homogenous. They can get things done more quickly because they're all kind of starting on the same page. Groups that are more diverse generally take longer times to do stuff. And this is like, this has been studied around. A lot of times it can come to better results. But when we talk about the white guy problem of improv, I wonder how much of this is like, oh, well, we have like a built-in group mind because we're all the same kind of people. Is that a thing in comedy, or is that something we actually have to fight against a little bit?
To me, that's shared references. If we're all three white guys, then theoretically we're all the same, and therefore we all have the same references. I think that's really what that kind of gets at, or for any other homogenous group of improvisers. I also, to add to your list of points, I would like to, how does flow work into group mind? And what is flow? Is that related to group mind, or did that website just make up a bunch of bullshit and just said a nice bunch of nice things on a paragraph to get you to sign up for their $400 class?
Now, I know that there have been moments in shows where one of two things happen and it feels terrific. I set up this thing. You kind of anticipated that I was going to. I don't mean a reference or anything. I don't know, a move. I went to make tea and you were already grabbing the sugar. And that was a really fun, accidental moment that feels very flowy. It feels very like we didn't know we were going to do that together, yet we did. There's that version. And then there's the other one where I guess this is kind of cheating, where I know you're going to grab the tea, so I grab the sugar to make it look like we are in that moment.
But that's group mind.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe it is. But you know, but Sam, I was thinking about also one of the points you just said about this is like about like the three white guys together or the same. You know, jams are often a terrible place to watch shows, an improv jam. And I bartended for a long time where I would watch these jams. Now, part of it is because it's jams tend to be with people of lower experience level. And that's fair. That's great. They should get up there and experiment and fail. But is part of that because they don't know each other? Because even when I did jam scenes, I would jump from behind the bar. I'd jump up occasionally. Yeah, I can make a scene work because I have enough experience, but there was certainly no flow. There's certainly no group mind there. And does that go, you know, which point does that reinforce? Does it reinforce that if you spend time, if you spend 1 year with eight people, are you cultivating group mind, or are you just cultivating knowledge of each other? And Jamie, do we now know each other's reference points and likes and dislikes, you know?
Yeah, I think that's just building a rapport. That's just getting more comfortable.
I think, you know? Jamie's just choosing to redefine. Like, so your original definition, Jamie, was if you say something at the same time, that's group mind. Or let's say you do something at the same time, that's group mind. You've kind of walked it back towards coincidence a little bit.
Well, I did say organically, and that's where I think the part is missing. If that happens organically, just out of thin air, that to me is kind of what I think of group mind. But if it comes from a shared reference, if it comes from a limited number of guesses rather than organically.
So is that where flow fits in, and that organically has to be somewhat unconscious? So if we're both flowing and doing things in the same way, that's the group mind magic?
To me, that's why I wanted to ask you guys about flow, because to me, flow and group mind are unrelated. Flow to me is when you finally are able to get outside your head and stop doing the math of the scene, and you can just be in the moment with whatever's happening. That's not group mind. That's just kind of letting go of your self-conscious self-judgment and just being in the moment.
But flow leads to organic work. Is that a fair statement?
Flow leads to organic work. I'm not sure I understand.
If you're flowing, it can. I would say that if you're not in a flow state, it's hard to do organic stuff, right? Like if you're thinking about it, that's not going to be organic. You have to be somewhat flowy, I would argue, to be organic, which would then kind of say, based on your definition of group mind being of organic coincidence, like you kind of need some sort of flow state to get there.
But it also could just be completely random at that point. And that's what I'm kind of like, and I don't even know that I have answers. I'm just like, as the more I pick it apart, the more I'm like, it sounds more like marketing than about like something with actual substance that we can teach to people and they can leave with group mind. It's like, build a rapport, learn each other's references, and you might be able to have more fluid, better scenes.
We haven't ever done this. Pardon me. But I'm going to tee up and tease a guest that we haven't even had booked yet, but we hope to have Karen Gracci on at some point. And she was the coach of Heyday, which I talk about a lot. I would love to hear her perspective on this. And because we want to talk to her about group dynamics, because she cultivated an area where it did feel very group-minded. Like I almost feel bad saying I don't believe so much, because when I think about my lovely Heyday and my lovely coach who cultivated this experience for us, you know, some of those rehearsals and scene, we'd be like, whoa, you know, where were we? You know, that was really fun. It felt very like flow state. But if I just examine it a little bit harder, is it like, well, is it just a series of experienced improvisers, you know, anticipating, knowing pattern, recognizing where things could go, looking at three or four options. We could heighten this. We could do this. We could do that. Choosing one. Sometimes they land together. Sometimes they don't. But we're also good enough where if I make a misstep, Peter Flouet knows that, can adjust on the fly because of his experience. And then it looks like something organically occurred when really it's just a series of moves being made by people who know what they're doing. And maybe that's what the group mind is.
That's what it feels like to me. That's why I was like, oh, is it a note that you get given? Is it something that gets observed ex post facto when the scene is over?
I've never heard a coach, or have you guys ever, I've never said, you're missing the group mind. I have said, you're not on the same page. You're not running the same play, but I would never say the words, you don't have group mind. That almost feels like,
but you might think it in the positive. Oh, you guys had good group mind there.
I think maybe you're right. Like, that's a good point. When they're hit, I'm like, you guys were on this. Yeah. You were on the same level. Group mind was really at an all time high there.
Right. I don't know. I think people just want to feel like they're part of a group, and so they glom onto that language pretty easily.
I don't know about that. I mean, it seems like you could develop it. And, you know, to Chris's point of, like, are they just experienced improvisers that know pattern? Like, sure, in theory, but that would mean any experienced improviser mashup team would be as good as any experienced improviser team that's been together for 10 years. I mean, like, the magic of Beer Shark Mice isn't that they're all experienced improvisers. It's they're experienced improvisers who know each other so well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We talked with Craig Kakowski the other day that there are some all-star teams on paper that fail, right? Really great improvisers that just can't gel. Is that because they are unable to connect to the plug-in to the almighty group mind? Or is it just that, like, yeah, Pete Holney... Gosh, I can't speak this morning. Pete Holney is a great improviser, but I don't know. I don't know him. I can't anticipate his move. But Peter Flouet, I know. I know he's going to fall down in this moment. Same thing with U2, I think. For as much as U2 experiment, and for as much as it sounds like Jamie's always just pulling the rug out from underneath you, we've had some great runs. I've watched U2 have some great kind of flow, steady runs in the middle of rehearsals and shows that feels like what group mind is, but again, Jamie, it could just be a series of coincidences and or calculated moves because you know what's going to happen next. But haven't you two been in scenes together where it's just kind of happening? I know that's woo woo, but you know what I mean.
I feel like we can maybe revise the group mind definition that we started with, where now it's kind of sounding like group mind is when multiple people are in an organic flow state, like together based on shared references and experiences together. Like, it's still a little funky as I'm saying it, but like all of these pieces seem to be part of it in a way that, as opposed to just sort of saying like group mind is important, we could say something like, you know what, that person wasn't in flow during that scene. Or, you missed that reference kind of a thing.
You know, Sam, I think you're, and this is what we said earlier when Jamie gave those kind of, those posts. And I was like, oh, I think maybe each of these makes up the group mind tent. I think that'd be a great way to teach, to be honest, to go like, hey, this post of what we call group mindedness is a little weak. Or how do we strengthen this? I don't know that you can strengthen flow necessarily. Maybe that's a whole different podcast. You know, how do you go like, all right, hey, good rehearsal, guys. Jamie, listen, he was holding an apple, not a bomb. Sam, you need to get more into the flow. Like you can't tell
someone like you're in your head too much, right?
Yes, sure. But yeah, flow just seems so magical. But you know, flow sounds as magical as group mind, which now, because I have a Jamie on my shoulder at all times and I have a Sam, the Jamie's going like, well, flow is nothing more than just a lot of experience at one thing, getting so good at it that you don't have to think about the physical mechanics or the smallness of it all. Am I making you proud today, Jamie?
You're doing a great job, though. You're doing really well. Maybe we can even broaden the definition of group mind to be any good scene.
No.
Oh.
No, that's not what group mind is. There could be a very good scene without group mind, I think. Because I think if you have an individual experienced performer who does something like really funny and the other person's just there, I think that could be a great scene, but they don't necessarily have to have group mind.
Withdrawn.
I object. Please.
I love the idea of a flow episode. I think that would be really interesting to kind of unpack.
You know what? Sure, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Sam.
No, go ahead.
I respect you and I love you. I have been in flow states when my team has not been. And that is simultaneously fun and uncomfortable. It's fun in that moment. I'm thinking about not with Hayden necessarily, but with Pretty Pretty Pony, which is our kind of ASCAT Armando style show at the West Side, where it's kind of a home run derby. There's not a lot of slow patient scenes. It's based on monologist stories, and you kind of highlight some of those moments in those stories. So you have your own ideas on the back as this person's telling stories, and you come out and you try to, you know, do your best interpretation of that. Granted, you have a scene partner, so you don't know where it's going. But I've done it more than, well, I feel bad saying this, but I'm just going to say it. I've had some amazing moments of, I'm just in it. I start dancing or something. Usually a physicality can kind of get me out of my head where it's not wordy. Or I remember one time I was doing the splits like Jean-Claude Van Damme on two chairs. And like, it was very fun and I was like in it. But sometimes I get the feeling that the rest of my team is not, one, on board with it at all, and two, certainly not in some collaborative flow state or group mind. And then I get a big applause, and it doesn't have to be me, this happens with everyone. You get a big applause, you step back to the back line, and you almost feel like, was that okay that I did that? Because the team doesn't seem to be happy, even though the audience liked that moment. I was in a flow state, they were not.
Yeah, I think flow state is an individual thing where you're kind of, yeah, you're out of your head. You're more present in the moment and you don't feel that self-judgment. And it really has nothing to do with group mind to me. Maybe it's nice if two people have that flow state, maybe it feels like group mind because it's an easy, fluid scene. Great. But then that's what I was saying earlier is like, maybe it's just a good scene.
Well, what would group flow mean? Like if we were like, oh man, that group really has flow. Like all those people are flowing together. What would that look like?
Sam, you and I think have good group flow. I mean, to the extent two people is a group, but you and I can think of numerous scenes where we've had like a lightning quick back and forth and didn't miss a beat. To me, that is what maybe group flow would be. But again, that's just because we've rehearsed so much together that we can finish each other's sentences, you know, or if I didn't finish your sentence correctly, you would still go with it anyway. So
I think you're absolutely right, yeah. Jamie. I can think of moments in a Folly rehearsal where not only would you do like such a quick back and forth of, let's say, you know, of dialogue, but then that dialogue would spark another move by one of you and the other one could see the move happening before the first person's even landed it. So now we're in a different game, in a different world, seamlessly over there, playing an even more complex game now. And then you both look at me and like flip me off. You know what I mean? Like that I have seen some flowy, great moments where, Jamie, I think if an audience was there, especially an audience of people who might not know what performance is or know a lot about comedy, they might say, if there was a poll, were these two in a flow state? you know, yes or no, were these two exhibiting group mind?
When we get back to doing live shows, can we give the audience a survey? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much flow was in the show?
That's right.
I would love that. That would be fascinating to pull the audience and see what did people see in it. Because part of it is just perception from the outside.
I think
rather
so.
Than in the inside.
Because I feel like my mom, who doesn't know a lot about comedy, would be like, oh, they were definitely flowing. That was, if based on what I think group mind is, that's what that was. But then we might, like you just said, Jamie, maybe just because we rehearse so goddamn much. And that's like, it's not as romantic. I still think it's as important. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So then what is the artistry of all this? Like what is, because I think why I like the idea of group mind and flow in improvisation is that it at least makes me feel like for a moment I get to levitate above stage, almost literally. I know you can't see that, but like, and I'm close to God in that moment. And like, that's why I've given over 20 years of my life to this, is that it's important work when I'm at my best, not my funniest, but my flowiest. But if I kind of wipe the film from those rose-colored glasses, Jamie, is it just a series of numbers, years plus experience plus rehearsals equals knowing what to do?
Well, and that's the thing is, I don't know why people are offended by that. Yeah. Why are people, it's like, oh, it has to be magic. It has to be spiritual. If it's math, then it's bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like,
right.
Why are people, why can't it be math? Why can't the math of the art be valuable as well? I don't know why people have to believe in something higher than themselves. I don't understand that.
I think there are some intangibles. You know, I'm just thinking about, you know, in scripts and stuff, you might talk about a cast that has chemistry. And I think that's true in improv too. And, you know, chemistry is a scientific term, but when people talk about two people having chemistry or not, like it's a very subjective, intangible thing, but it really does make a difference, right? I don't know.
That's a great point. Chemistry is another topic, but I mean, a whole nother podcast episode, because I love that idea. I have a friend, I'm going to name him by name. His name's Matt Jacobs. He's one of my new adult friends that I chose as an adult, met him in a dog park. He's a writer. And I don't know if I said this here already, but his script is going to be made, whatever. And they were doing chemistry reads through Zoom. And he's like, this is going to be a nightmare. There's no way we're going to be able to feel that intangible. And yet he was shocked. He said, you could feel the chemistry between two people that two others didn't have through Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
That intangible thing, Sam, what are we calling that, Jamie? Is it just chemicals in our brain? You know, we do feel it. We can feel a good pairing, I think, versus those two don't work as well together.
It's like we were talking about earlier with like a cast. They have a good rapport, you know, maybe they have a similar view of the world. They have similar references. They can, and that way, like, oh, I can say something about computer monitors and you happen to know a lot about computer monitors. So you can give me something right back. And then we can start talking about computer. That's just having something in common with somebody, you know? And I wonder if the Zoom chemistry will translate to in-person chemistry, because those two might be actually very different.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Not to shit on your friends, actors, but I'm just curious.
That's a good question.
But it's interesting to think about how energy comes into play, or like vibe of a person, because that's not a tangible, oh, I know what they're thinking. But like, Jamie, I think you and I have a similar vibe sometimes, or maybe we're a little bit more blunt or direct than other people around us, or I don't know. There's something else there.
But yeah, that there is something else there. But it's funny because I wouldn't describe Jamie's vibe as being blunt or direct, if I'm being honest. I've seen Jamie a few times kind of in public, or we've done a couple of shows together that are for like a broader audience. That sounds weird. I mean, not like a Folly show. We've done like bigger improv shows to bigger houses. Jamie is very sweet, very generous.
Wait, what?
I'm telling you, I've seen him in the green room with other actors, just asking questions, being nice. So You know, I think that's a, we don't talk about that part of Jamie a lot. I think that is a huge part of him. I think in his day to day, I imagine he's more kind than he is rude. Not that being blunt is always rude. Anyway, but talking about the vibe of Jamie and the vibe of people, I think, Sam, you also have that same sweet vibe. You're also a generous person. And that to me is where you two actually connect, not on being on questioning everything or trying to flip things upside down. You two are good guys I would consider you both sweet people. And that to me is your similar vibe. Jamie's going to go, I disagree with that. Here's why. Define sweet. I don't know. All right. You know, as we're wrapping up here, I'm not mad at removing the magic of group mind, Jamie, like you're saying. Why does it have to be? Why can't math be as beautiful? Coincidence is fun. Like that is kind of intangible. We didn't mean for this to happen, but it happened at the same time. We can love and cherish those moments. I think that's absolutely great.
Yeah. To me, absolutely. I think like a leader of the school of fish moving a split second earlier than everybody else, but everybody else getting on the same. I think that's fun. That's cool. Yes. It can be neat to watch. It can be beautiful and hilarious and all that good stuff. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm only simply trying to like, let's maybe tone down the magical language and the spirituality of this bullshit. And let's just talk about maybe what it actually is. Cause you say group mind, that doesn't help people. Let's group mind. It's like group mind is just fairy tale language. Let's say, hey, why don't you build a rapport outside, be on the same page by watching for imperceptible moves and getting on the same page really quickly. Like if you feed people the magic, then it has this lore, but actually doesn't help them do anything. As opposed to if you break down the mechanics of it and say, hey, here's the five things that group mind really are. Work on these and maybe it'll look like to a stranger, to an audience member, that you have group mind and did a good show.
Dude, I love that. Sam, I love that. Because here's what I love most about it. I don't know that helps people. And like, especially as Craig Kukowski called, this is the LA Training Center comedy podcast, you know, and I teach a bunch. It doesn't do me any good or the students any good, I should say, to just like throw out that magical word and then walk away and be like, I hope you find it. Hope you feel it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it helps them improve or build improv skills or performance skills. I think it helps people who feel like they don't have a community. I feel like it has that effect on them, but it doesn't necessarily have the performative effect. Like you say group mind, get on the group mind. Oh, we're on the group mind. I have a friend. Sometimes people need that. Fine. Great. But if you're actually trying to build improv skills, I don't think group mind helps with that at all.
Samuel.
I'll resist the urge to throw some more spirituality back into it. And I'll say this, don't force group mind. And that if you find yourself in a situation where you're not tapping into it or the group's not tapping into it, I don't know that that's something that you can go from nothing to 100%. Like, I think that might be a situation where you need to take a bigger step back and see why is this not working? Is it me? Is it this group of people together? Because I do think there is something that should be a little natural about it. And I think that's part of the organic that Jamie's talking about.
But you know what though, Sam, I know we're wrapping up here, but I remember I was doing an organic opening. Karen Gracci was coaching. And by the time I got to Karen, I was so tired of organic openings that I was like just rolling my eyes during an organic opening. Like, what a shitty thing to do. I was literally like kind of half-assing the movements, whatever. And she just challenged me one day to do it even harder. Like to go even more. Like, got it. You're too cool for this moment. Understood. You don't want to do it. Copy that. Now, as a coach and as a challenge to you, do it harder. In essence, she helped me. I was manufacturing that. I was like, okay, because I respect and trust Karen, I'm going to push my ego aside. I'm going to double down on being a lizard. And go blah, 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 all together and go harder. And then when it feels worse, go even harder. And you do kind of, man, you do kind of lock into this position where you're like, fuck it. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know if group mind is occurring, but I'm on board. I do get on board. I don't know. I don't know if that's good for anybody.
You're committing really hard to discover flow, which I think is an episode we're going to have to talk about.
That's commitment. That's commitment. And I think when you commit hard enough, it becomes enjoyable because it's pretty funny to watch somebody commit hard to something that's stupid. Like that's going to be comedy almost every time. So if you're a lizard and you're the hardest lizard you could be, it's going to be funny to watch.
But I think that's a good point that maybe we didn't talk about, that like group commitment is maybe another aspect of that group.
Yes, for sure. Well, do the Comedy Fix boys have group mind? I don't know.
What's so funny, I listened back and I just literally cut you off, which is gonna undercut the point that I was about to make. I listened back to our first couple episodes maybe a few weeks ago, and we didn't have a flow. We didn't have the podcast give and take. We were interrupting each other a little bit, which we were just doing. But I think we have a better flow. But again, that's not group mind. That's just we've learned how to do a podcast. We've learned the form of this show a little bit more. And so I don't know.
Okay. One.